Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, greetings, and welcome. This is Gary Loper. This is Building Better Relationships. It's all about building better relationships in all the areas of your life, primarily with yourself, then your partners, your family, your customers, prospects, the community, and then expanding to your relationships with your business, your money mindset, networking, health, spirituality, and more. The show will be an eclectic convergence of all of my gifts and passions, and we're going to be offering coaching in life, business, social media, and sharing Yes Energy insights. In the future, we'll be talking with experts, doing some business makeovers, talking about social media, and how to be able to build better relationships in all areas of your life. This is an opportunity to ask questions that will not only help you, but may assist others as well. So during the show, please call in at 646-478-4705. Or if you're listening on a replay, just simply email me at askgary@garyloper.com. We'll get your question answered next time on the air. Together, we can be able to make a difference in your life and be able to enhance the lives of others. So thank you once again for being able to join us, and I really want to be able to thank all the people who have listened in so far. So this is our third show on Blog Talk, and I've really been overwhelmed with the response that I'm seeing on the reports, with over 500 500 episode listenings to on each one of the shows. That's was way more than what we'd expected as the first time out. So I'm very, very grateful for everybody listening. And if you're liking this, please share. If not, tell us what we can be able to do better. Just a couple things to mention that are coming up. This coming Thursday, which is going to be August 9th, at 8 p.m., I'm going to be doing a free Twitter class. To get the information on that class, go to GaryLoper.com, look for the big blue bird, and be able to register to be able to receive my free Master the Twitterverse ebook. We'll give you a lot of good ideas. On the call, we're going to be talking about answering a lot of questions about what you can be able to do to be able to tweet better, to be able to be a better member of the Twitterverse, and how to be able to use it to be able to leverage and build your audience for your business as well. Also upcoming next Tuesday night, August 14th, again at 8 o'clock, we're going to be starting an 8-week course on utilizing the Yes Energy. So again today, we're going to be talking about changing the conversation as one of the elements of that Yes Energy equation. And we're hoping to be able to give you a little glimpse into the power of what this Yes Energy equation is and how it can be able to impact your life in incredible ways. So find out more about that. Go to GaryLoper.com, look for the tab, Yes Energy, and there's information on the course there, the course itself there. That's going to be starting up, again, on August 14th at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. So, last week we started talking about some of the ways that we can be able to change our conversation. And I know that we had Carol come on the line last week, and she's with us again this week. So everybody welcome Carol Loper. Yay! We've got to get applause buttons and everything. So I think we just want to be able to pick up on some of the things that we had been talking about last time, and look at how we can be able to expand these things today. I know one of the biggest factors in that I've learned in probably over almost 25 years now of my personal growth and development is that where we are today is a result of our past behavior. It's not our current or future behavior, but today's results are from yesterday's actions. And I think I heard that first from Earl Nightingale years and years ago, that that every one of our decisions had led us to be exactly where we are, and where we are is on a subconscious level of where we wanted to be able to be. So I really think that in, you know, if you don't like where you are, one of the fastest ways to be able to start creating this shift is start taking responsibility for where you are, because where you are now is based on the decisions that you have made. Now, I can already hear somebody starting to grumble and say, well, what about this or what about that? And well, other people's actions may have influenced your decisions, but bottom line, other people's actions are primarily about themselves. And we have this tendency to be able to read in to their decisions and assume that they're going to behave in a way that's going to be able to get them to where they're going or where they want to be able to go. And hopefully we'll be able to embrace everybody else who's sort of on their ride along with them. So one of the things we need to do is start cleaning up those negative conversations that we're having. Is look at all of the areas of your life. And I think we were just at a family event. And, you know, there was a lot of good feelings and a lot of things out there. But I don't think that as many people realized some of the negative overtures in their conversation. Carol, did you see that? Did you see that over the weekend, or you see that other times where people have that kind?
Absolutely. The thing that I've noticed, and even with myself in the past, and I've shifted, to reiterate what you were saying, is I heard you say it doesn't matter where you've gotten started. It doesn't matter what your story is. The point is stop telling your story and stop allowing yourself to be trapped in that story, in your circumstances, whatever it is, but start paying attention to the tone of your voice and your choice of words, because you could have good intentions, but if you keep telling a story with a negative overtone, it keeps you stuck in that place, and you never grow and you never change. You never bring in that abundant life that everybody or most people want.
Exactly. And I really think that is changing our perception. And this point will probably come up several times during the day, because I know in putting some of the notes together, it just sort of seemed that this might have been kind of the theme. Is when we talked about that we had made all of these decisions to get us to where we are in our lives. Now, and I think in Earl Nightingale's passage, he talked about that on a subconscious level, we need to be where we are. So if we can learn to be able to embrace the chaos, you know, and by chaos we mean by, you know, anything that is not your sunshine and blues, Nirvana, you know, State Fair kind of feeling, but to be able to look at these negative situations, I call the chaos, is to be able to look at that these are the gifts. We don't grow in a comfort zone. If everything was all sunshine and balloons all the time, there would never be anything to challenge us to be able to get better. So I think part of the free will that we have is that we will always be able to have these opposite viewpoints in everything that comes up in our lives. There's going to be these polar opposites. And our decisions are going to be able to move us on a scale closer to one side or the other based on those decisions. So then when we wake up and we be able to see that our previous decisions have moved us closer to the side that we don't want to be, it's like, okay, these were my decisions. This got me here. What can I learn from this? How can I get better to be able to move back to where I want to be on the other end of that scale? So have you seen that, Carol, where there's just a lot of people who seem to be in that resistance? And when you talked about that storytelling, and that's what it was they keep, you know, something bad happens in their lives, and something bad is going to continually to happen in our lives. It's, again, it's the chaos. We're going to learn from those bad experiences and how we react to them and change that conversation that we go into that is going to be able to determine how we can get out of it and get back to where we want to be able to become.
Definitely. Plus, I know you've said this in past shows and coaching other people. It's really important that even when you're in your chaos to go to that deeper level and really tap in and be in touch with your feelings. That's healthy. The part that's not healthy is to totally accept the circumstance of your life. We all can be active participants in making a choice. So I know what you're saying because I've learned a lot. I'm the queen of resistance. I have always been the type of child that my mother, as a toddler, would put me on a blanket, and I would play with toys for hours. I didn't like risks. I didn't like challenges. I liked that comfort. But now I'm seeing that it's been a floodgate of challenges. But tapping into the emotions and looking at what can I learn from this, where do I want to go, what kind of life do I want to produce. If I want an abundant life, I've got to shift the way I view my life and have a different mindset and stop telling the story. And I know that's a lot of what you teach people, and I've learned greatly from what you've taught me.
Right, and I think that it's, I don't know, you know, we see a lot of people for a long time who will be telling the same stories over and over and over again for years and not being able to be able to move forward. And there was something that you said, and I got the other phone rang quickly, so it sort of distracted me a little bit, but so hopefully I can, is it back what you said early on? And I know your recall probably is, but it's. I think it comes down to that, because if you see people succeeding in life, in whatever that they're looking at doing, I think it really becomes down to the speed of their attitude and how they embrace their situations or. And look at what they have to be able to do. You know, just watch the Olympics, and you see these 16-year-old little girls that are out, you know, with these gymnastic performances. You know, what is their speed? What is the speed of that attitude? That at 16, they can be able to become the best of the world at something like that.
So what I'm hearing you say is part of what you've talked about is change the conversation. But when you're persistent and you have that certainty and you move it into action, that's when you're the most successful.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Because, you know, even look at it, and I know there are people that come back and say, well, okay, well, they didn't have any other life experiences, so they just started doing gymnastics when they were five, and that's all that they learned. So, you know, again, you can build excuses for somebody else's success, but is that really an excuse for their success, or is that an excuse for your lack of it? So it's like, okay, well, they had that, but what can you do to replicate that pattern? Because if that's a successful path, why aren't you clearing out all the other stuff that doesn't matter in your life that's going to be able to get you to that level of success? Again, it's changing the conversations. You know, we talked last time about, you know, protecting your energy from negative people and negative conversations. So we talked about the DNA on your phone. So if you didn't listen to that, if you've got somebody who will call you on the phone, and they're going to, and you know that their energy is going to be something that's going to shift you out of your productive, positive energy, what we're suggesting is to go into your address book on your phone, and with your edit button, go in and add the capital letters DNA in front of that person's name. And that's going to indicate do not answer. You want to be able to protect your energy and be able to determine when and if you're going to take that call and how you're going to be able to respond to it in a time and in a way that's going to be able to protect what you're doing and not be able to be in their reactions. And I think that when we can be able to create that shift and learn that protection and take some of these excuses that we think about, well, they're the excuses for somebody else's success, but, you know, I don't think there's any argument that there wind up being excuses for somebody else's lack of success is when you start looking at, well, they did this, they did that. We all have the same, 86,400 seconds every day? So how we can be able to do that. And I think that's one of the things, too, is, you know, and we may have talked about this before, is the... I believe that there's spiritual solutions within the chaos. You know, and we're going to talk more in the Yes Energy equation about retapping into our faith. But in also being able to recognize, so if we looked at this and we take the responsibility that, okay, we are exactly where we are in our life now based on our decisions that we've made. And also be able to realize that if we're partnered up with our higher power, the universal life force energy, God, you know, whatever you call Buddha, whatever resonates with you, I feel, you know, this is another portion of our team. It's like a huge sales manager or office manager. It's like, we know that there's, you know, somebody else, that force has got our back. And I believe that there's a spiritual solution that our subconscious and our soul is working together with our physical being to be able to put us into some of these situations to be able to accelerate our growth, both our physical and our spiritual growth. So if we recognize, one, it's our responsibility, and two, that there's a spiritual solution within those problems that are going to be able to help us grow. I know that's helped me tremendously in being able to shift my focus and my awareness in changing some of the stories that I had been telling myself for decades. Have you seen that transformation, Carol?
Well, I have, but I also wanted to add to what you said, because I have found this in my life, that when I'm not in alignment with my spirituality, that creates a separation from yourself. So your true higher self, your true consciousness becomes separate from your physical daily life, and that creates strife, and you're out of balance, and it has to manifest somewhere. And I know with myself, it's manifested in symptoms where I've had neurological problems, and it's because I've been out of alignment. And typically when people are living that way, they're living a duality. There's no cohesiveness between the spiritual and the physical, and so the very things you want to manifest, when it's out of alignment, that abundant life will not come your way.
Right. You know what? One of the things too, and I love the examples. We've been watching some of the excerpts of T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes, is some of his messages that he shares with his congregation. And it's kind of funny. You know, Bishop Jakes is very animated, and he's so much energy, and you know, he's just sourcing things on such a different level. But in when he started talking about some of these things here, about embracing the chaos, embracing the stuff going on in our life, he started relating this to labor pains. And you know, and how he had talked about that we're in the womb, right? So we're in this womb right now. Even in our present state, we're still in womb, because we're still in this transformation. There's things going on. And if we're really looking at being able to turn our lives into something else, something bigger than ourselves, to learn how to be able to serve more and we're asking to be able to be used and to be able to shift, do these other shifts. And I agree with Jake's, is being able to look at this, there are labor pains and these contractions. Now, if I'm remembering this, you know, from my, you know, the Lamaze classes that I attended with the birth of the kids, was that these labor pains are pushing on the baby to be able to prepare them for that journey and that entry into the new world. So all of those labor pains and those contractions were necessary for that baby to be able to prepare to be able to go through that. Now I know, Carol, with your baby, you know, you had a C-section, but can you see those parallels? Because I know you had to experience the labor pains.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely see the parallel.
But again, so if we can look at this and be able to shift our focus, again, change the conversation that's going on inside of our head, that this chaos and these other things that are going on around us, or that we're not getting what we think that we should be getting, that one, we may not, you know, we're probably not ready for it. If I'm going to put a faith in a higher power, and I know that when I'm ready, that those opportunities are going to be able to come there. So if it's not there, I know that I'm not ready, and there's more work to be able to be done in order for me to be able to get ready. And if there's chaos, there's other stuff, you know, there's piles of poo and whatever else that was going on in our lives, I know that there's a spiritual energy at work that's preparing me to be able to go through that birth canal and be able to be launched out into the next part of the life. Now, I think, you know, this sort of touches on too is a little bit of difference in when we're sourcing energy. And I think there's an important difference, because I know it's mentioned in the Yes Energy book that prayer, being it gratitude, meditations, or whatever term that you want to be able to use to be able to connect to that source, that it's not just about the asking. It's about really about sourcing for solutions. So what that tells me is that we need to stop avoiding asking for stuff. You know, asking for a great day, or asking that we win the lottery. You know, if you just look at, you know, how many people are sort of praying or meditating in that way, it says asking for that. And you're not getting it. So, but I really think that the universe works on that if we shift our focus again and shift our conversation to be asking for a solution. How can I be better in this? How can I serve more? How can I be able to do, you know, how can I solve this problem? I know from my experience, when I've looked at those looking for solutions, the solutions came a whole lot faster. Because I think what it does too is then you, by asking just for a specific thing like that, you're only giving the universe a really small target to be able to hit.
You know, actually what I'm hearing you say is the contrast between the two different philosophies is in one way someone may be wanting something specific in their life, and by asking something specific they're keeping a narrow viewpoint when there might even be something bigger and better, and it's almost like they're trying to control their own life. And so if they release, stop the resistance, let it go, and just ask for a bigger life, ask for source energy to assist you instead of narrowing it down, I only want this. It's almost like I've heard people say, I want to earn $1,000 extra a month. Well, why have that limitation? Why not have a limitless life? Why not bring in abundance, and it can only happen with that type of thinking, what you're talking about, that
right.
limitless thinking.
And then, you know, with your situation, again, you know, in creating more income, and this is sort of the tie-in with the yes energy and also the go-giver philosophies, is that your compensation is based on how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So if you want more money, then you need to serve more people exceptionally well. And if you're just looking for the money without giving something for that, I don't think that those requests will be answered.
Or it may even come from a different direction. Like, for example, I just received a thank you from someone who she dealt with the challenge of breast cancer, and she's a survivor, and she is celebrating her life by getting the word out to women. I just came upon her website through Twitter that we had connected initially. I had sent her a message that something, paraphrasing, that it's wonderful that she's helping other women, but every year around breast cancer awareness, my focus point is to get out an article on men being aware of breast cancer. So she actually had posted my article on her website, and she sent me an email yesterday thanking me that there are two men that went for breast exams to just verify that they are indeed have clean health. And so what I'm saying is, often when we don't need to even pay attention to giving in, let's say, in our area of expertise, but rather giving from our heart, one of integrity. So if you're always conscious about giving back to the universe, things flow back to you, and it may not even be in the same place. I've heard you say that many times.
Right, and I think in the Go-Giver series, they talk, you know, and I think it was Go-Giver Sells More, we learned about the law of left field, which indicates that, you know, we give for the sake of giving. And we can talk more about the go-giver philosophies, you know, in some other times. But we give for the sake of giving, not expecting that it will necessarily be returned to us from where we gave it, but that we do know and expect that there will be some type of return from an unexpected place, unexpected time, you know, just totally out of left field. You're just thinking, you know, but I think, you know, if, and this is one of the, you know, the common threads between the two books, is that by shifting your focus from getting to giving, and focusing on that giving, that people will return in kind and be able to see that. I know that, you know, your story was great, because I know when you just shared that with me, I go, this is the butterfly effect. You know, we do something to be able to, you know, to be able to share some information that we have, and then you saw that, you know, within two steps, you know, two other men have gone and be able to have, you know, to be able to be checked out for breast cancer. So what kind of impact will that have on their lives in going through that? You know, and again, we saw that as a huge example over the weekend. My Aunt Lois passed away. And what we really saw is I always held Art and Lois as a role model to a point about how to be able to build a better relationship. So I was, you know, I was on this course for a long, long time. And so Lois passed away, so she was 79, Art's 80 now. And now you can be able to see with their kids and their grandchildren the love and support and nurturing and, you know, love languages. I'm sure there's so many different things about how to be able to have those better relationships and how that's all tied together. And I just thought that, you know, that's amazing. So if you look at the butterfly effect, so here are two people who got together what, so 60, you know, so 1953 is when they got married. So here's two people with some ideas on how to be able to, you know, be able to express their love for each other and to be able to continue to be able to share that love with everybody else that they embraced along their lives, and how they instilled that in their children and their children's relationships with each other, and now how their children had grown then to be able to go and create their own families in different communities and be able to have, you know, powerfully successful lives on many, many different levels, starting out from two separate people getting together, a little bit of a butterfly wing flap. You've got three generations that are touched just within that family. But then for us on the outside to be able to see that and to be able to appreciate that and to be able, again, to be able to look at it, you know. So here's some contrast in our lives. It's like, okay, so situation that I grew up in was different than that. And I liked that, you know, what I saw with Art and Lois was something more of what I wanted to. And so I really, you know, so I suppose in some way here we have worked in a little bit of a tribute. But I think it's really, really powerful about changing the conversations on how we can be able to influence our relationships with ourselves, our family, the, you know, our extended family, our world, and everything else. You know, so I don't know. I don't know if you can be able to measure that effect by what two people could brought together and all the lives that they touched and the jobs and the different cities and locations that they lived in, vacationed in, and where they're grown. You know, that can just be enormous. And you know, and I guess I'm just relating that to, again, to your story, that you never know by sharing some information with your story about your father's experience.
Exactly, and that's what I wanted to add, if you don't mind, two comments.
Sure.
Because I don't think I mentioned that initially on. If I had stayed stuck in the story, I lost my dad to breast cancer, which is rare. It's more unusual, but it does happen. So instead of staying stuck in the story, I chose, because my dad was an incredibly loving, gentle, peaceful man, that I sat back, well, what can I do with this? Instead of constantly or, you know, periodically around the holidays and stuff feeling I miss him, what can I do to create a shift with this story? So that's how I, you know, made that decision to write about my father's story and hope that it would help someone else. And I can see that it has. And then second to that, being stuck in the story, Gary could have been stuck in the story that his parents would divorce. And I know that everyone's had challenges either from childhood or through later on in their life. It's really easy to get stuck in the story. Instead of getting stuck in that story, observe and pay attention. What do you see out there, and what would you like to change in your life and get to that place? In order to get to that place, often you need to have a role model. So what Gary chose early on in his teens, it sounds like.
Oh, younger.
Yeah. Younger. His aunt and his uncle's love and the family structure, and many years have gone by and I've had the opportunity to meet them, so I can totally vouch that they are who they are, very loving and caring family and extremely supportive with each other. They may be different. Everyone can be different, but they have that support system. So it's all about changing that story and how you get there. And so these would be two examples, changing the story of, you know, losing my dad, and then Gary's role modeling what he was looking for to have love in his life.
Mm-hmm. And I think what one of the things is, and, you know, when I look back on my life in some other aspects, and I never realized on how I had been embracing this yes energy probably even probably before Laurel was born. But what I really think that it was in order to be able to create that shift, we got to start saying yes to something else other than what we have. You know, so we talked about, again, embrace the decisions, take responsibility for the decisions that you've made so far. And if they're not, didn't get you where you wanted to go, you got to be able to say yes to a new possibility. You know, we have to be able to look at that. You know, we all have our own unique gifts, either spiritual, financial, personal lives. But how often are we hiding those gifts due to our life experiences? You know, so you just look at all the things that we've gone through our lives, and it's just, and I know that I had done it. You know, we don't want to get, you know, I'm sure we probably will maybe spill some of this stuff out over a period of time. But I was not embracing a lot of my gifts because I was wired to come in to, and I wanted to be able to feel love a certain way. And I didn't feel that I was getting it that way. And so when I didn't get that, I didn't feel that I was worthy, that I was valued at all. But I didn't realize, again, that that support system that I had directly around me, I had to learn to accept that they could not provide what I was looking for in the way that I was looking for it. And because of that, and this confusion of that thought, I wound up hiding a lot of the stuff. I never looked to be able to see because I disconnected a low self-esteem, and I'm not worth it, or I can't do anything right because I didn't get what it was. So I guess one of the things we probably got to be able to look at, and I don't know how to, Carol, you may have some ideas, is, you know, for kids that are in some of those situations where they aren't getting some of that encouragement and nurturing that they want, is how to be able to get them to be able to see their gifts and to be able to shine. You know, so I just saw that too with my sister taking, you know, her grandchildren on separate vacations. She's got an opportunity to be able to see them and probably be able to have, you know, much bigger influence and be able to get all the kids over for a weekend. But I think that, you know, when we need to be able to activate our yes, that we need to be able to look at how we can be able to structure ourselves every single day to get the best use of our energy. So we talked about, and I encourage you, if you're on Twitter, follow me at Gary Loper. But also go check out a stream of posts that I started back in, was it September or October, was the Just for Today. And these Just for Todays are affirmations on how we can be able to start shifting our conversations, start shifting our energy into the things that we want to be able to create. And the Just for Today confuses some people because they say, well, these things should be every day. And every day is the ultimate goal. But just for today, I am loved. Just for today, I am loving. Just for today, I am lovable. Just for today, I am, you know, connected with my purpose. I think what happens a lot of times, if you look at trying to be able to do anything in a big way and say, okay, I am loved every day, that's a huge elephant. And so how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time and chew like hell. So we just break these things down into smaller chunks. So that's why the Just for Today was just a good place to be able to start, to be able to look at some of the reminders. So what are the things that you need to be doing to be able to start saying yes in your life? And I think that one of the, you know, it's just a powerful, powerful piece. Every time that we've seen it, it heard it, is the Marianne Williamson, Our Greatest Fear. The thing that people don't recognize their own brilliance. So just like to share that. it's not our light. No, it's our light, not our darkness, that frightens us, that most frightens us. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are more powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make magnificent the glory of God that is in us. It is not in just some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
I love that. You know what? I believe part of it is we're actually taught early on in schools, or maybe from churches or temples, or our parents or other children, that if we talk too much about ourselves, that we're bragging, or it's coming from ego, rather than seeing that when we tap into our strengths and really look, as she's referring to our light, in the goodness of who we are, our strengths, in our powerful beings, that there are gifts, and why not let those gifts shine? And that's why it's important for, you know, any listeners out there. I wish I had embraced that more with my son, to have him shine, to pay attention to his gifts more. And I know recently with two of our grandchildren that came over, we sat in a circle and we had them talk about what they were grateful for in themselves and others and in circumstances in their life around them. And that's a gift in itself. So if you can get your children each morning and night to pay attention to their gifts, they'll start to feel of a comfort zone that I can celebrate who I am. I'm not bragging. I'm celebrating who I am in my strengths. And we're taught early on not to be powerful beings.
Right. And I think, you know, there's so many parallels and so many different things with this. This is why, you know, Laurel's Yes Energy Equation and Bob Berg's The Go-Giver are powerful things for me, because, you know, we talk about that receiving aspect. And, you know, and when you were sharing these things, Carol, you know, just talked about that we were told that it's better to give than to receive. So, by playing small, we're not receiving the gifts that the universe has brought to us. We're not receiving the responsibility to be able to utilize those gifts to serve the world, to be able to make somebody else's lives better, to be able to look at some of these things that are going on in our lives and be able to, what gives us energy, or as opposed to what takes it away. So, you know, that may just be something that people can be able to look at. And this, you know, we're going to share some things from our Yes Energy 8-week course here. But one of the things right now is being able to identify the positive and the negative aspects of your life that affect your energy. You know, so for some people, you know, the positive energy, what energizes you, what charges you, what makes you get up and go when you've got nothing left. You know, last week I was on my mastermind call, and we were getting ready to be able to make the journey up to Lois's services. So I maybe had about 2 hours of sleep before I got on that call. But I got onto that call, and there were some questions asked that got me automatically into a coaching mode. And I knew that the gifts that I had are meant to be able to help somebody else's life. So what I'm saying is basically, 2 hours of sleep, probably over a day and a half, maybe 2 days. And for me, that coaching was something that, no matter what else was going on, I got into it, and it was a positive jolt, and that gave me adrenaline to be able to roll forever. When I lived on the beach, I still love the beach. So those are positive environments. So look back at, the things that you do, your environment, reading, your music, inspiration, your family. What are those things that build your energy up? Just make a list of them. And also on the other side, make a list of the things that take away your energy. So what gets you frustrated? What gets you angry? What overwhelms you? Does listening to gossip or somebody else's judgment of a situation, that negative, the news, all the different things. Write down both the positive and negative things that build or take away from your energy. I'd love if you'd be able to share those with me and, send them to askgary@garyloper.com or find my business page on Facebook and just post them there as well. Do a little live out loud, and we could be able to look at, again, we want to be able to serve and be able to use our experiences and knowing that it's going to help us in our transformation, but somebody else watching in is going to be able to have their lives change. And I think that's another huge thing too about changing our conversation, because we don't know who's watching us. Carol, I know we've both seen that on Twitter. I will continually get messages, sometimes several a day, from people that I never saw. And I look at every single tweet pretty much every single day. So I know the people who are there all the time. And all of a sudden, somebody new will come up and make a comment about how much their life has impacted by the messages that we share there.
There's truth in that. What Gary's saying is be transparent. You just never know the very thing or the very question, the very experience or feeling or emotion you share or you ask Gary a question about. Someone out there, another listener, could be feeling the same thing, but they haven't moved to that place to open up. So by you being transparent, not only are you receiving information, but you're giving a gift.
Right,
and
I think that's also too is being able to utilize the gift. So though for me the coaching and sharing the inspiration, because I've been collecting motivational quotes, for 25 maybe 30 years in some way or another, and I know that it's been a huge impact in my life, and I've always turned to them in times to be able to help shift my focus, my attitude, and be able to change the direction that I'm going. And I know that a lot of other people have been able to get some of that same direction from those messages. So I look at that. This is one of the gifts that I can be able to share, and Twitter is a vehicle for me to be able to do that. And then it builds a know, like, and trust rapport that, that could possibly be taken on, that I might be able to serve them in another way in other coaching programs along the way. So I think that's what else? We ran through a lot of stuff and took off in some other directions. So, Carol, you got anything else? I hear something maybe churning around in your head a little bit that you might want to share.
Well, another aspect, and I'm certain you've touched on this in previous conversations, is the media. There's a lot of conversations. If you sit back and you turn on TV, it's incredible how much there'll be references to diets and diet aids and diet pills. And that language, so what Gary's referenced is you need to pay attention and use language filters and shift things to a positive place. So if someone's carrying too much weight, changing it to, I choose and want to live a positive life, be healthy, be active, my body's tone and fit, the food that I'm taking in is healthy, whatever it might be, whatever choice of words, rather than saying diet, because when you use that type of word, it is a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reference points around that. So I know you've talked a lot about conversations that people have, but also the media that's out there. There's so much out there that's actually damaging, I feel.
Right, and I think that's, you know, again, I think it's changing vocabulary. So that diet example was great in being able to look at, because in the training program that I went through, they need to reapply, was it becomes a lifestyle. And so, you're making lifestyle changes. So this is your new lifestyle. It's not a diet. You're changing your lifestyle. So you're building foods. Again, the same thing we talked about as far as that family and the beach and those other things that impact you, positively impact you, or the anger, the frustration, the gossip that can negatively impact you. Do the same thing with the foods that you're eating. You know, we've noticed, we've been working with a nutritionist who's given us some new lifestyle choices, some food choices that we, things to be able to avoid and things that we should be able to, you know, that we need to be able to add to our diet, to our lifestyle. And doing that, we've noticed that when we've tried to be able to go back and take some of that corn syrup, that was in the red licorice that we love to be able to chew on while we're taking long road trips, we started listening to our body and started feeling an adverse reaction to eating those foods.
It's amazing.
So, you know, I think in order to be able to change the conversation, and again, we can change the conversation on a lot of different levels, and if you stay along with me long enough, we're going to go deep on some stuff. But you change the conversations that are going on inside your head, change the conversations that are of the people who are around you, protect that energy, the DNA, you know, separate yourself from other people who don't support your dream or will try to be able to steal your dream or just go caught up in so much of their stuff. Look at the food, the exercises, the other things that you're doing. You know, sometimes it's great to be able to veg out in front of the TV. But are you watching shows that are, even if you're vegging out, is there another show choice that you can be able to make that's going to put a more positive message into your head? You've seen that, Carol, right? Because, you know, we've been watching, you know, I think probably the game show network now is probably the low side of our of our deal. And it's and even the game show, it's like, okay, so we can still be testing our brain power and being able to look at some of these other contests and trivias and questions and strategies and things like that, but that's probably the low side of the things that we're watching. You know, we started watching a lot of Oprah Network and be able to look at some of those other programs that can be able to shift and be able to create a positive impact in our lives.
It changes our conversation and the things we discuss also and the way we feel.
All right, so I know we covered a bunch of things. So I guess as we're sort of wrapping things up here, I know that it's really imperative that are the attitude that you bring in the situation is going to be the difference between fast or slow results. You know, if you've been around me probably more than a week, you've probably heard about don't think about the color red. So if you're new, you hadn't heard this, your subconscious mind can only create whatever you think about. So look around the room that you're in now and notice everything, but don't notice the color red. The first thing that you have to notice is red. Your subconscious mind cannot not think about something. So knowing that little bit about how your mind works, you're going to be able to focus on what you want. So is it so if you want to look at blue, go right to blue. Put the language filter. So whatever your red was, so in a relationship, if it's somebody who smokes or drinks, you want somebody who's health conscious and takes care of their body and being able to do these things. So shift those, or start using those language filters, go through there. Stop making the excuses. You know, somebody else's excuses for their success, but it's really, it's yours. It's your choice. Stop making excuses. Start looking. What can you say yes to? And if you don't know how to say yes, you need to be in my class. You need to be part of this yes energy equation. Learn how to be able to apply it to your life. You know, stop denying your gifts. Get around people who have this yes energy mindset. You know, and they may not even know it's yes energy. This is a new phenomenon, but it's, you know, people have a powerful energy because they walk into the room and there's a presence. You know that. And it's always been said that the highest energy wins. Always wins. So if you're looking at yourself and if you're not one of those people that has the highest energy in the room, that other people, you know, even if you stand in a room and you don't go and demand attention, that other people are attracted to you. You know, that happens to us all the time. You know, we kind of wait for people to come to us and come into our lives and say, what's next? How can we help you? How can we serve you? I think one of the other things, too, is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. There are going to be changes. I had a lifetime full of habits and patterns and going through that. And it does create a lot. It does create work and habits, and you have to do something every single day to be able to do that. So that's why that just for today messages are vital on how to be able to do that. I keep a gratitude journal, and I keep track now of how many days that I've listened to Abraham Hicks, The Vortex, and how many straight days I've been doing yoga. You know, without pulling the book out there, it's like 960 straight days that I've done some form of yoga for at least 30 minutes. But you got to be able to start saying yes, that you want something different, and you know that you got to be able to break those old rules to be able to do something now. You know, new habits are probably going to take at least 56 days. They're going to take 56 days in order to be able to become locked into your life. So we only got about 60 seconds left here, so I want to be able to wrap this up so we don't lose any good stuff off the live call. So we're going to be back next week. We're talking more about yes energy, and we want to be able to thank Carol Loper for being able to add to the conversation for the last 2 weeks. She's an incredible graphic artist, writer, and editor. You can find out about her at Carol Loper, and get a pencil. It's CarylLoper.com. You can find out more about me at GaryLoper.com. Click on the Yes Energy tab to be able to find out about the Yes Energy class and the Twitter class coming up this Thursday. So appreciate you being here, and I wish you all a great day.